Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Columbus Day on the Savage Nation, and since we have a gubernatorial race in New York State, which between two gentlemen of Italian heritage, I don't feel embarrassed to say that I've been watching this battle between Paladino and Cuomo, where they say Paladino said something that was quite homophobic, and I would say this to Mr. Paladino. Now, Cuomo was a lifetime far-left radical, as you know. His dad, a good man, I'm sure, was a super left-winger. Anti-death penalty, pro-welfare state. In other words, all of the progressive policies that were suffering from under Obama were tried out by Andrew Cuomo's father. What was his father's name? Mario, correct? So Mr. Paladino is being called homophobic, and I'm going to give Mr. Paladino a one-liner that could win the election for him. He should get up there today, and he should say, I am not homophobic, I am Cuomophobic. Cymbal shot. Crash. Boom. I am not homophobic, I'm comophobic. And that's the end of the election. He wins right away. Now, I gave a one-liner to, what's his name? The guy from Arizona, whose name I forgot already. The guy crashed the airplane and blew it up on the deck. John McCain, that's right. I gave him the one-liner, trickle-up poverty, during the campaign against Obama. His dumb handlers wouldn't even let him see the line because they didn't want him to win. But I told him, I said, I said it right on this show. I said, if you give this to McCain and he goes out tonight and debates Obama in the final debate that time, I said he could just smile and do Reagan-esque and say, look, we've heard it all before, Mr. Obama. We know what's coming, Mr. Obama. It's been tried in Russia, Mr. Obama. It's been tried in Eastern Europe, Mr. Obama. It's called trickle-up poverty. That would have been the end of the election, and we'd have McCain. But the Republicans didn't want him to win. They knew that they had sacked the Treasury for eight straight years, and now it was time to hoodwink the people and let the Dems sack the Treasury for 8 years, until eventually there's nothing left. We are like the proverbial sporting goods store taken over by the mafia. Both sides are basically running up the credit cards for the airline tickets and moving the inventory out of the back door, selling it off the back of trucks. That's fundamentally what America has become to the two parties. So don't tell me that the solution is more Republicanism. Now, the fact is we need conservatives, not Republicans. So I say, Paladino, all he's got to do is get up and say, I'm not homophobic, I'm comophobic. And that's the end of it. Also, I'd like to hear about book store horror stories on the Savage Nation. Like if they said, come with me down into the dungeon, I'll show you where we keep it. Or the girl with the nose ring and the pink hair and the green eyelids said, come with me into the ladies' room and I'll show you the book. Or if you have a bookstore horror story about TUP, let me know about it. We have wonderful, wonderful news out there. As you know, the book went to number one on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Number one overall, no matter without Fox News. I understand that the purple gang at Fox News is furious. I understand that the Westies under Boss O'Reilly are furious and out of their minds. Boss O'Reilly and the Westies are crazy that they were unable to keep me down and that you, the people, listen to this show. I told you what this proved. It proves that Boss Tweed O'Reilly and the Westies at Fox are not as important as they would like to believe. Talk radio is still king in terms of influence over the people, by the way. I don't need the media to confirm this. I'm a competitor of theirs. Would the Daily News salute the New York Post? Would the New York Times say that the New York Post is a good medium? So I wouldn't expect anyone in the media to say, yeah, Savage is right. It's a one-man show with some wonderful production. And we've proven once again that talk radio is the powerhouse of the media when it comes to ideas and the dissemination of ideas and selling books. How else would you explain that my book became number one overall? I beat all fiction, all nonfiction, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. How do you explain it? It's a fluke. I bought a million copies. I didn't buy them. You bought them one at a time. The people went out there and bought them. So it's a big story out there, by the way. Palladino ups ante, slams Cuomo over gay pride parade. As I say, Palladino, all he's got to do is say, I am not homophobic, I am Cuomophobic. That's the end of the election. And then when the Republicans take over, they take Soros and they try him for crimes against America. They drag Soros in an orange jumpsuit, and all of the arrogance that you saw with Madoff is gone. You know, Soros, in my opinion, is just Madoff prime. He's Madoff on steroids. He's a much smarter Madoff. He takes down whole governments instead of entire Jewish neighborhoods. That's all. So there it is. A lot to talk about. Did I tell you about my dream? What time is it? Do I have time already to work up an idea yet? See, I'm warming. It's Monday. What a long week and horrible. Horrible, long, people in shorts. Boats. It was endless. Boats and shorts. And partying and drinking. And everywhere I turned, people on water skiing going by, waving and going, woo-hoo! And I'm sitting here saying, am I crazy? The world is burning in front of my eyes. We're in two wars. We have a recession. We have a lunatic child president. We have an out-of-touch administration. We have a mad woman as a Speaker of the House. Woo-hoo! And the skiers go by. It's a tough thing being a talk show, so let me tell you. So anyway, it went on and on and on. But I'm a man who looks forward to sleep for a reason. A, because I need it. B, because sleep is the only reason I'm still living. I don't even think it's the vitamins. I'm pretty sure it's the vitamins, truthfully, and sleep. It's the least important. It's the least. The reason the doctors don't tell you about sleep and rest is they can't sell it to you. The reason the doctors don't tell you about taking a nap in the middle of the day is because, A, you can't do it because you're not a talk show host. And B, they can't package it and put it in a pill. And they can't test for it. Some quack can't put a machine on you and say you're sleep deprived. Here's a pill. Go to sleep in the middle of the day. It's time proven. It's age old. The siesta is the reason I'm living this long. So anyway, I sleep a lot and I dream a lot. Ah, to sleep, perchance to dream. Did I tell you about my dream over the weekend? To sleep, perchance to dream. To perchance to dream? Here's the dream I had. The dream was so prophetic that I, Michael Savage, know I was put on the radio 16 years ago. And why this book, the sine qua non of my entire life, Trickle Up Poverty, is a raging bestseller. Here's the dream. I dreamed I was in some sort of an adult university classroom. And a very chatty middle-aged woman was the teacher. And she was going on and on about how great Mao Zedong had been, how Mao had built steps in the mountains, and how he had carved tunnels through mountains, and how he marched an entire army across China, and what a great accomplishment it was, and what great fortitude Mao Zedong had, and what great vision he had. And one man stood up, a middle-aged, respectable man, and he started to clap and say, great, great. He was a great man. He was wonderful in the communist tradition of clapping as the teacher spoke. So in the dream, I screamed out in the classroom, sit down, you bastard. Mao was a Chinese Hitler. He killed 60 million of his own fellow Chinese. But the man kept clapping, and the teacher tried to admonish me, not him. And the middle-aged, nice teacher tried to control me, and she said, no, you can't yell out in the class. That's not right. That's not what happened. And I yelled at her, if you don't know what Mao Zedong actually did, you're not qualified to be a teacher. And that was the end of the dream. Now, what does that have to do with Barack Hussein Obama? I believe Barack Hussein Obama is a disciple of Mao Zedong. Now, why do I say that? I say it because he hired one Marxist slash Maoist after another, including the well-known Anita Dunn, who he had to fire when she glorified Mao Zedong. And you have no idea how dangerous this man actually is. And you have no idea how dangerous his disciples are. None. You have no idea. And you have no idea what lurks underneath the shadows of this man and his surrounded minions, none of whom had congressional approval. I mean, we have a country with checks and balances, and none of the czars have been checked nor balanced. And I'm going to tell you something. I woke up from that dream, And I realized I was putting it to alert America and the world to the dangers of this papier-mâché messiah. Michael Savage was put here to give America his manifesto, Trickle Up Poverty, the true inside story of the Obama administration. Now play some Italian music so we can talk about whether or not you're homophobic and get some more bookstore horror stories and get that cymbal shot ready, would you please? That stinks. Turn it off. I wouldn't listen to that if I was eating good Italian food. Don't you have anything a little upbeat? Oh, that stinks. God, turn it up, please. That is so depressing. You play that, I think of a poor shoemaker or something. Senior citizens brace for Social Security freeze. Boo-hoo. Boo-hoo. All of the Social Security grifters. Boo-hoo. They're not getting their COLA increase, so they can't go to Atlantic City with the cigarettes dangling out of their mouth with the little cups of coins. Boo-hoo. Go get a job or cut back on your vacations to Atlantic City. I'm sure the gambling machine could do without one visit. Boo-hoo, senior citizens. They're not going to get a Social Security raise. Boo-hoo, so they won't go down to Boca this summer for an extra second. Boo-hoo. You ever see the seniors with the arms hanging down? The right arm? You know what I'm talking about. Boo-hoo, senior. What do you think a senior is? Does a person who crosses the age barrier of 65, are they suddenly sacred? If they were nice, they're still nice. If they were SOBs, they're worse after 65. You know how many people get away with murder because they're over 65 and they play the senior racket? I don't want to hear it anymore. Seniors brace for Social Security freeze. Boo-hoo, bah humbug. Hey, listen, are you homophobic or homophobic? I'll be right back.
Savage.
Non andar fuori di notte, parabunzi bunzi vai, ci sono troppi vagabondi, non andar fuori di notte da graben biondina da graben.
Italian stereotypes surface in the race for New York governor. Andrew Cuomo versus Carl Paladino, as different as you could imagine. One a descendant of the radical left, the socialist left, Cuomo, there's no question about it, the big government socialist left. And Paladino appears to be the conservative candidate. He's a real estate developer from Buffalo. And he's an up-from-the-bootstraps Italian, street smart. And they're both from southern Italy, so you can't say it's an anti-Italian thing when I say that I don't think Paladino is homophobic. I think he's homophobic. And I don't think that it's an insult to the largest ethnic group in New York State when I say that Mario Cuomo is a man who would induce homophobia. Okay, thank you. Very good. You finally got it. So whatever it is. I don't know who's going to win. I mean, Cuomo has the unions.
We got the unions. We got the newspapers. Can we run a story about Paladino somewhere off the Verrazano Narrows Bridge when he was a thug kid? Get the newspapers running. Call up the Post. We got people in the papers, don't we?
New York City, WOR. Mary Lou, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey there. Coming home from visiting my parents in Vermont, long weekend, stopped at a Barnes & Noble and asked for your book and was happy to see that it was not in the back, but the clerk there said, well, actually, it's a political book and this book does belong in the back, but it's up front here because it's selling so well.
Yeah, well, they sold out. They've reordered. The book is a raging bestseller. I got to tell you, Mary. It's Mariola or Mary Lou?
Mariola, yes.
Mariola, that's like a Victrola. That's an unusual. I never heard of a name like that. What's Mariola?
Growing up, it rhymes with too many things. Crayola, Honda, Miniola, Crapola, you name it.
Oh, you got a good sense of humor from it, though, because you were bullied because of your name. And you turned out with a sense of humor. I love they're trying to outlaw childhood now by saying bullying should be illegal. I mean, I was bullied my whole childhood. So what? It just made me tougher and smarter.
Sure, and you would definitely have your say in my classroom. I would not shut you down. You could applaud all you want.
Oh, you heard my dream about Mao Zedong, huh?
I heard, and you know, I have to say, you look wonderful on the cover of your book, and you have the most impeccable manicure. I know you're very clean, and you just look fabulous.
Wait, what do you mean? They airbrushed my fingernails? I don't even think they're my fingers. They may be somebody else's fingers. I got to look into that. I don't know. It's very funny.
Brushed?
Yeah, no, I'm well. I look very good. I don't know about the hat part of it. I mean, they said use the hat. It's part of your, I don't know that I needed it, but all right, it's selling. It's number one, so the hat was right.
Wonderful, it's wonderful, and I had to stop.
But Mary, don't go anywhere yet, Mary Ol. I'm sending you a free copy. Everyone's a winner today, even whether you have a book or not, you're getting them. It's Labor Day, and I'm selling the house. Stay on the line. 1-800-449-8255. By the way, I got an email from a soldier in Afghanistan who wants to give it out to the troops. He said they're being brainwashed. They don't even know their own rules of engagement, how bad they are. He said, your book showing the rules of engagement should be required reading to see how bad it is so they don't have such bad self-esteem. And my publisher is donating, to start with, 200 copies. We're going to try and get the address in Afghanistan because we've got to change the course of human history here. This is an awful situation. And 1-800-449-8255 is the number. MichaelSavage.com is the... So any bookstore horror stories? Are you homophobic? Do you think that Paladino blew it by coming? You see, what they're hiding here, which is very interesting, is that Paladino made these remarks about gays while campaigning. See, they're hiding this because they want to get Paladino, but they're afraid of being looked like they're anti-Semitic. He went to appeal to some ultra-Orthodox Jewish people in Brooklyn who have a certain very firm Old Testament beliefs about certain things, like love and marriage going together like a horse and carriage. So he said what he said in order to appeal to them, and it got out there. So in the news business, being that they're all liars and snakes, but they're trying to get Paladino without trying to attack Jews, because if they'd attack Paladino by saying he said it to a group of Orthodox Jews, the reporter would be accused of being anti-Semitic. So the reporter leaves out where he made the remarks. You get it? Don't you think I see everything? I'm at a certain point in my life where I've been around long enough. I've seen a lot. I wouldn't say I know everything, but I know a lot. And my observations are as sharp and as quick as anybody on earth. There's nobody who I can tell you I listen to who is as sharp as I am politically. Nobody. And don't tell me the Purple Gang has better people on it. I'm sorry. Don't you tell me there's someone with pancake makeup on the Westies channel that sees things more clearly than I do. I'm wholly owned by nobody. I'm an independent. I see things as I see them, and I give you one man's opinion. Whether you believe him or not, that's your decision. Okay? But the book became number one. Thank you.
Savage.
We're going highbrow now. Now we're going highbrow. No, I'm not in the mood. Please, we don't have to show us smart. Play something Pebble in the Shoeish Italian. Let's not go operatic today. I'm a little down. It's like the post success syndrome. Success is a stale finale, or the myth of Sisyphus. I pushed this boulder so hard for so long that when I got it to the top of the hill, I mean, no one stays at number one forever. Let me tell you something. When I was number one for 3 days, it was a huge victory for me, particularly since I've been barred from the media by and large, except for some wonderful folks in mid-markets. But the fact is, I said it's an anthill, and there's always another ant coming up that hill trying to push you down, just as I pushed down Woodward and the comedian. I mean, I pushed the comedian off the hill, and I pushed Woodward off the hill. Bob Woodward, hey, Woodward Bernstein, you know, hey, genius, big genius. So what has he got in that book that's so important? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. He says nothing about Obama that you don't know. And there's nothing revealing in the book that you need to know. And there's nothing about it that's controversial. You know what I'm saying? But right away, oh, he wrote another book. Big deal. So my book is revealing. There are revelations in my book. There are no stereotypes in my book. It's all important information. And obviously, I'm going to tell you how these things work. Can I give you a little... I think I can give you inside information. Reports come out tomorrow on the first week sales. I don't have any information on it, but I suspect by what I heard that it's going to be a raging bestseller in several of the chains. And you know how businesses are run, don't you? Most of you, if you have a business that's called forecasting, if you have a real business, based upon initial sales of a new product, you can pretty much project how that product's going to sell through its life. And that's how you can forecast whether how many cans to buy, or how many boxes to make, and how much raw material to get. That's how you run a business. It's called forecasting. And the computer programs are quite sophisticated these days. And my suspicion is that the computer program is indicative, indicating that this book is going to be a phenomenal, huge hit for a long period of time. Right up through the election, obviously, November. But I didn't write it for that. I write long term. And I think this book's going to be a big, solid seller right to 2012, right up until the presidential election, because people are going to figure Obama's going to start moving to the center. Don't you know how these people operate? He legislated from the radical far left for the first 2 years, idiot. Remember the big hammer? They're going to try and make you forget it through newspeak and through brainwashing. They're going to try to make you forget all of the czars, and he's going to start to appoint moderates and middle of the roaders. As he gets closer to the election, he's going to start to look like Mr. Middle of the Road. This book is going to document everything he has done and everything you must be aware of that he wants to do. That's why it's going to stay in the market, and that's why it's going to be passed around. There's huge buzz. I don't know how else to tell it to you. You know, when a movie comes out, if it has a huge opening weekend, usually the movie is a big hit based upon the opening weekend, unless it's crap and there's nothing in it. Well, if the movie has substance and it's really entertaining or it's got something in it, people talk about it, then the movie's a hit. It's the same with the book. The book has huge depth to it. It's deep. There's 12 chapters. Each chapter is better. Any one chapter is better than what the phony is putting on there with the eyes now. Their popularity from drinking diet soda. He's going to move you out there who know that God is on my side to get on your hands and knees and pray because God knows I'm the most important prophet on earth. Oh, praise God, I am lost. I'm a loss of my eyes. Oh, my voice is going boo-hoo-hoo in order to gain ratings for the night. I mean, this is a lunacy job here. It's unbelievable to me. The false preacher. Every novel was written about this character. Lost his sight and his voice already. Flew to a Mormon hospital. That's all. And the leprechaun went nuts, I heard. The leprechaun blew it all together. God, the people are afraid of him in the hall. What happened when the Lep's book got pushed down? So as I say, look, yes, I'm crowing and I'm boasting. Yes, I am. It's part of my nature. Because I was bullied as a child, so I'm getting even. I love all these stories about bullying. Hello, that's called childhood. What world do these people live in? Never went to a schoolyard where people pushed you around? I was on the small side. I got plenty of pushed around. But I learned how to push back, schmuck, or how to avoid getting pushed. You know, I learned how to align myself with bigger guys if I needed to in order to not get pushed around so much. And then eventually I learned how to walk on my own legs and follow my own drummer. What's the big deal? So you get pushed around. You get ridiculed for a name. You get ridiculed for a religion. You get ridiculed for your hair if you're a kid. You get ridiculed if you're small. You get ridiculed if you're fat. You get ridiculed if you're old. You get ridiculed if you're young. That's society, moron. Everything they're trying to do, these liberal psychos. Everything they want to rule out of society, that's normal. That's average. Who said bullying is good? Nobody. I'm not arguing for bullying. What are you going to do? Outlaw childhood? In England, they've arrested like 3% of the children's population under 5 for having made racist remarks about Muslims. You hear this? You hear those lunatics? Those panty waists that run that psycho government? Churchill's rolling over in his grave from who inherited that country. So, 7 cars he took. The guy with the big ears, the lunatic, the goon, the goofball, Prince Charles. He needed 7 railroad cars for him and his buddies to take a ride about green things and windmills. Green turbines. Have you heard about people who live near the turbines in Maine? They're going crazy, all the lefties. I love it. You talk about justice. All the schmucks from New York who bought properties in Vermont and Maine to get away from the other people like themselves in New York who they hated. The very people who acted like them, they ran from. So they went up to Vermont and polluted the nation of Vermont by electing a communist. Then some of them hated the people in Vermont, so they moved to Maine to get away from the people they fled from in Vermont, who they were fleeing from in New York. So I'll really show them I'll move away. I'll move to Vermont. I'll move to Maine. They go to Maine now, and they're all greens. They're into green. They hate carbon all of a sudden. I mean, they grew up on carbon dioxide water called seltzer. They sat around the table. The father or the uncle was a commie from the ILGWU who lectured them about how evil America was, how the union was the and no good and carbon's evil. Now all of a sudden they're drinking carbon their entire childhood, so they have a carbon overdose from the seltzer, so they're anti-carbon. They don't even know what carbon is. It's the structural element of every living thing on the earth, but they all you tell, carbon's no good. Morons. I mean, scientific morons. It's the building block of all life on Earth is carbon. But you ask the average illiterate moron liberal, carbon dioxide is ruining the planet. So the schmucks move to Vermont and they go into green technology. They want green, everything green. green, grow. All right, so the green shysters come up with wind turbines, which they put on hills and in bays and in tidal areas with their surges and winds. And guess what? All night long, they hear the wind turbine. Every time a breeze comes on, the wind turbine clicks on. Ooh, and wakes up the New York liberal who fled to Vermont and Maine to get away from the pollution and the noise. So now it's kicking them in the behind because the wind turbine is disturbing their soliloquy. You hear this? It's unbelievable. God sees the truth but waits. If you live long enough, you get to actually have satisfaction in watching it all, how it all emerges. It's unbelievable. You heard about Not in My Backyard. Well, this is directly how Not in My Backyard. All of the green turbine people, now they're complaining now about wind turbines are disturbing them in Maine. You hear this? Houston, Texas. Wacy, another. I'm getting great names. Wacy, welcome to the show.
Hi. I went to Barnes & Noble to pick up your book, and when I asked for it, the lady kind of gave me a weird look, and she was the typical, exactly how you described it, colored hair, piercings, all of that fun stuff.
Why do they take jobs in bookstores? Why are they drawn to bookstores? I don't understand this. It's like they look like Madame Defarge to me.
Yeah, it's a little scary. I had 7 copies on the table, and I said, do you have any more in the back? And she goes, well, why? I was like, well, I'm buying all of these. I go, I just want to make sure you have more that you can bring out. And I just wanted to clear the table just to see what she would do. And she kind of just kind of huffed and went back. She goes, yeah, we got more. And I went, I grabbed my 7, I bought them, and yes.
What, you bought 7 copies to give to 7 brides?
Oh, no. Just friends of mine. I gave them away. I gave 6 copies away. I kept 1 for myself because I'm a huge fan.
You're not a member of that church where you can have 7 wives, are you? I mean, you're going to give 1 to each wife, huh?
No.
You make each wife take home a trickle-up poverty. I can see them all in bed reading the book, and they all have to read it at the same rate. You talk about control. Oh, yeah, he was a controlling man. He gave us the books that we had to read, and we had to read it at the same rate. And then he tested us each.
Yeah.
Wacy, I really appreciate your good nature and your fanhood. And I'm sending you an 8th copy for free of TUP. Thank you for cleaning out the store. So here we are, without media, except for mid-market. The book became a raging bestseller already, number 1. How? Why? Why? Has anyone read it, actually? You're giving me bookstore horror stories. But can someone call with something in the book that you can't believe is a revelation? As I see, here's how it's going to work. I'm going to introduce news stories each day today, like more and more today. And we'll bring it back to the book intermittently. It's not going to be the only book. I mean, today we could talk about how Soros is terrified that the Republicans are going to win and they're going to actually drag him out in an orange jumpsuit. Or he'll have to flee America. He'll have to flee the Earth. He'll have to actually book a flight on the Virgin Space Shuttle to get away from all the countries that are after him for bankrupting them. Dr. Evil. Who would be more evil in your mind, Soros or Kim Jong-il? I don't know who's worse, Kim Jong-il or Soros. I can't decide. I think Kim Jong-il is probably less dangerous because everyone knows who he is. Soros tries to pretend he's just a little meek old investor, you know.
No, I spent my life investing. I did very well, thank God. I'm spending the rest of my life in Tel Aviv. I'm trying to be with the grandchildren. I don't know from nothing. I didn't do. I don't know what they want from me. What do they want? What do I do? I only made money. I came from Hungary, a poor boy. Who would they want from me? What are they hunting? I'll be right back.
Savage.
C'è una luna mezzumara, mamma mia, mamma di dare. Figlia mia, cosa dare, mamma mia, pensaccia tu.
Ma, papà, tu.
Se te peglia lo pisciaiole, isso va, isso viene.
Oh, man, I want to go to Florida and have some calamari. Sick of California. I want to fly away already. And when I get there, I can't wait to come back. La, 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 la. Flap less coast more. Hey, Goomba. Hey, Goomba. Hey, Gumare. Calamare. Gumare. I love this song. Italian stereotype surface and race for governor. I'm for Paladino. I'm slightly comophobic, I'll be honest with you. I don't know about you, I'm comophobic. Passa si sobre. The Jewish holiday, Passa si sobre, Passover it. it's not funny. None of this is. See, four restaurants in a row I walked out of this weekend. That's four in a row. Friday it started with the Chinese that I went to for 20 years. She gave me they look you right. I don't understand this. She knows me for 20 years. I ordered the same dish, $16. Not the lunch special, the seafood special. It comes out, okay, I know, blah, blah, blah. So there's four shrimp the size of my pinky fingernail and four scallops the size of my thumbnail. I don't say anything because it's already 20 years with this joint. I eat the meal. It's mainly vegetable. I figure, okay, that's better for me anyway, instead of contaminated seafood, trafe. As I'm leaving, I go to the owner. I pay. I don't complain. I say, hey, I'll call her Betty. No, I mean, sorry. I'll call her Annie. So I said, Annie, could I say something? You better tell the cook. I said, there were only four shrimp. You didn't understand me. I said, there's only four shrimp in the dish. I'm Mr. Dumbbell, like a poster on the wall. So I said, let me start again. Let me hold up four fingers. You know me for 20 years. I said, there were four shrimp and four little scallops. She said, oh, I'll tell the cook next time. No refund. No, like, I'm sorry. I shall tell the cook. She could tell the cook all she wants because I'm never going in there again, okay? That's the end of the road. That was number one. Then at an Italian restaurant in the neighborhood, the calamari came back from this joint in Marin County. Another one. What is it? Food quality going down, or they think people are idiotic? I order a calamari sandwich I've had 100 times. The fish came back. The guy who delivered it, the car stank like he went like over dead, like a dead animal was in the car. The minute he walked through the door, it smelled like somebody had just come out of a halfway house or was just about to be put into a halfway house in a bag. That's what the sandwich smelled like. I got so angry, I sent it back with the delivery guy. That's the end of that. So that's two, Chinese and Italian. There's nothing left. So I'm cooking for myself again. Now, I did have one good meal over the weekend, now that I think about it. And I will mention, I went to Alioto's on the Wharf. I haven't been there in months. And that guy puts out great food. When Richie's there, I enjoy going there. That's all. And I did enjoy it. I didn't eat very much. A salad and a little calamari. What am I eating with calamari? Because it's like, to me, that food has a reaction in me. It's like Le Vitre from the sea. Every time I eat that stuff, it's frightening. So what do you need? I mean, you could get over revved up too. But because I'm such a highly, like, driven person, I'm so charged up all the time. It's very hard to turn off the charge. I have like all of these plus charges coming off my being. It's very hard to turn them into a neutral unless you throw the negs at it. So I know what foods to eat to make it into a if I eat neg foods, I can turn my balance into a neutr. Oh, it's very complicated. It's the acid alkaline balance and all of that. Don't let me bore you with this. I know you want to talk about trickle up poverty and my dream. Did anyone hear me talk about my dream? About the Mao Zedong dream? I swear to God, it was God telling me what I was born for. I'm telling you, I was put here to alert America and the world to the dangers of this papier-mâché messiah. Michael Savage was put here to tell you about it through my manifesto, Trickle Up Poverty. That's what I woke up. A Mormon hospital out west. Oh, may the good Lord save me. Please, dear God, come down and descend upon me that the millions of fools out there can continue to follow me. How do you believe in these people? Don't you understand it gives the whole conservative movement a bad name? I say to myself. So therefore, I look forward to sleep. Ah, to dream. Perchance to sleep. Yeah, perchance to sleep. I could fall asleep. But you know what the second message is? And I didn't know whether I should tell you this. I have to share it with you. Well, should I tell them what happened this morning? I don't think so with the dog. Because it's a humiliating thing. But I think God was telling me, don't think that this makes you special because you have a bestseller. Should I tell him the dream? Well, it's kind of embarrassing, but I'll tell you because I kind of share an awful lot with you on the air, and I don't know if I should. But I guess I have to. If I gave you this dream, which was real, about the prophetic dream and the woman in the classroom with Mao Zedong and how I stood up and I yelled at the teacher. You know, many people are afraid to respond to authority. I've never been shy to stand up in a classroom. But there's always a cost for it. There's a social cost. You become an outcast. You must understand that I am a social outcast. I don't think you understand this. I have no friends. I have only a few family members who I'm close with, and that's about it. I have no friends. Now, whether this is a product of my outspokenness, I have a lot of people who admire what I do. I have millions of people who follow my every word on the air. But fundamentally, you know, this is it, man. You're alone. Nobody really wants to be around you if you're very outspoken. And if you're politically as outspoken as I am, they're afraid of you. So, okay, so I write the book. It becomes a bestseller. It was like pushing this boulder up the mountain. And it was so exciting, then so rewarding, and then all of a sudden the dream. And I say, well, wait a minute. Shouldn't have the stars and, you know, stars and stripes, shouldn't I have been invited to the White House? Shouldn't the Republicans have said, Michael Savage, you're the greatest. Look what you've done. You've nothing, zero. Like nothing came from the high, you know, from Mount Olympus. And I said, it's like nothing. I've had five bestsellers before, so believe me, I knew what to expect. But each and every time a performer or an artist, when they hit the target, they want something for it. They want something to change in their life. I don't know if you know the inner workings of an artist of any kind. They expect something to change inside themselves. Now, if you expect it to come from outside, you're going to be mighty disappointed. Nothing's going to happen. So nothing happened. Nothing changed. Still alone. Maybe that's the way I set it up. Don't know. It could be the way I set it up, okay? I don't belong to clubs. I don't belong to organizations. I try to keep away from people, basically. So, blah, blah, blah. Go to sleep. Wake up in the morning. There's a horrible smell in the bedroom. A horror. I don't know whether I was dreaming. And I'm walking in the dark to let the dog out. Do I have to tell you what the barefoot went into? So I start to curse. And I say, why in the world did this happen? There's a reason for it. God wants me to understand that that's what we're born as dust and we end as dust. All may be vanity while we're alive, but at the end of the day, we're nothing. Do you understand this?
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
This book the day it came out, and wow, what an eye-opener. Michael Savage absolutely has the best stethoscope on the pulse of bullcrap and lies coming out of Washington right now. Furthermore, his ability to articulate his points leaves his sidekick competitors limping in the dust. Amazing book. Wow.
Dr. Savage has once again come forward with an honest, something you liberals would not understand, exposed picture of politics in this filthy present regime.
Blue Monday.
So I'm the best radiologist on the conservative side of the political world here. And I tell you, the x-ray is very revealing. The cancer has disseminated far worse than I thought. And whether it can be excised in time and the patient saved is another story. Who knows, you know? Welcome to the Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255. Don't call. It was sold out. Everyone's a winner today. Everyone who gets on the air, Flap Less, Coast More, gets a copy of Trickle Up Poverty. And what else did I want to tell you? I told you already the story about the dreams. So I'm not going to repeat it. I'll tell you. I'm amazing. These are all true stories and all true dreams. No one can write this. You got to understand something. When you're as gifted as I am with creativity, which I have been since I was a child, but I didn't know it. I just thought I was like, you know, an antsy kid. Every teacher told me there was something wrong with me because I couldn't sit still. Something wrong with him, you know. Give him. If there was Ritalin today, I would be a dentist in Manhasset, buried already. If they had had Ritalin or any of those drugs when I was a kid, they would have put me on it for sure. I would have, let's say, gone to dental school in Somalia or something like that, because I never could memorize very well. I didn't like memorizing anything that didn't make sense to me. I can remember anything that's important. I found that that's the mark of brilliance, is the ability to remember what's important. I learned that in graduate school from a brilliant old teacher, unlike the fakers with the blackboards and the glasses. With clear glass, they don't even need glasses. He said to me, don't worry about memorization. He was the best professor I had. He said, the most important thing is to know where to find the information that you need, number one, where to look for it, and also what you need to know you'll remember. The guy was amazing. And the top professors were like that. The fakers had four blackboards with chalk and gave you tests every 4 days and then flew off to Mormon hospitals when their worst nightmare again, number one. So, California's interesting. Northern California has its own little weather system, much different than the East Coast. Being an East Coaster, it's kind of unusual to me to have the second summer. This is our real summer. September, October is our real summer, the Indian summer. You know, it's already getting colder down in the East and whatnot, as it should be. Autumn. So out here, we get the real summer now. You know, it's not cold, not windy. And then we have our own, like, set of holidays. Like, this weekend was the Blue Angels Navy weekend, you know. The city goes wild for it, except for the old commie scum who complain, why do they fly over our city, disturbing my reading of Leaves of Grass? I was laying in bed reading the beatnik literature of my youth, and I heard the roar of airplanes. It disturbed me as it shook my window panes and pained my lungs. But everyone likes it, except the newspapers. You know, they put it down. But people love it. So hundreds of thousands of people, you go into the city to watch the Blue Angels, and everyone who has a boat is out on the bay. They're watching the air show Thursday and a Friday and a Saturday, Sunday. Then the Columbus Day thing was Sunday. But since I wasn't invited to a certain restaurant that I used to go to, I won't mention it ever again and not go there ever again either. The only one I'll mention is the one I mentioned already. So I went out alone to watch the parade of ships on my boat. 40 tons, you know. I would fill 40 tons of yacht on my own, took it out. Nobody, zero. Nobody, not even the dog. I was in one of those moods after last week, which I called Hell Week. I wanted to be alone. I didn't even want to hear a dog bark. I didn't even want the distraction of a dog barking. So I took the boat out alone. And it's not so heroic. It's only on the bay. And it's got a bow and stern thruster. So I go out, watch the parade of ships. It was kind of boring, to be frank. The big warships weren't there. There's one, like, you know, 800-foot, like a marine amphibious land. Not that interesting. It's not like watching the Big Mo. I mean, I've seen the Big Mo at dock when it was out here, the Missouri. It's unbelievable. Or a real modern aircraft carrier, the Nimitz I was on. You say, holy God. I mean, I was honored to be aboard the Nimitz a few years ago. I don't think they'd ever have me again. The word is probably out on banned on aircraft carriers, as well as banned in Britain. But when I watch those young men in their flying machines taking off on night missions, training missions, it's like watching a rocket take off the deck. It was 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, black ocean, black sky, and all of a sudden all you see is the afterburners on the F-A-18 Hornets, and you see rockets taking off on a deck, and you just sit there shaking and shuddering with the genius of man. The only thing you pray is that we had something other than a panty waist running the military, and they could just end the war already by killing the enemy in his stronghold. Wipe him off the planet already. Use some of the weapons that we paid for instead of milking us dry for more weapons that you're not going to use, is all you pray when you watch the jets take off, which is why I wasn't invited back. So to make a long story short, so it's that weekend. So I go out alone. I watch the parade of ships. The first couple of ships, there were more Coast Guard ships and Navy patrol vessels and police boats and old menopausal men whose boats were converted into, like, patrol boats than there were observers, because they were afraid of being boarded by these schmucks with 40-caliber Glocks. Everyone was on patrol. I was afraid to even get near the ships. I never saw such a cordon like this. I didn't even dare get near. I mean, I didn't want them to come aboard. They're a pain in the neck. They once boarded my ship. I'm not very impressed with the Coast Guard, to be honest with you. I know you're supposed to glorify everyone in the uniform, but at the end of the day, you know, not everyone in the uniform is special. Some people are just idiots in uniforms with guns and clubs. And some are wonderful. I get the idiots. Not this weekend. Anyway, I go back. So I hope no one's ringing the bell right now in my studio. Where's my assistant to stop this? Anyway, the dog isn't even here. I don't want to be with him because of this morning with the rug with the foot. I had to give him to the cleaner, and that's it. I'd like to have sent my foot out to a to a Martin, you know, Martinizing. I wanted to have my foot Martinized after this morning. Whoa, that's a bad experience. I mean, I raised children, but that happens like once in a child rearing. That middle of the night, early morning squish, great for the sex life between husband and wife. I got to tell you, young children are the greatest thing to keep a sex life alive. Between the plastic rattles, the regurgitation, and the doo-doo, and eating in restaurants with the wonderful thing for romance. I think that's how God sets it up that way. I don't know how. I don't understand. It's like hair on a man as he gets older. It grows in the wrong places. There's something to do with that. Sometimes I think God is a comedian, and he gets bored. And he needs a little fun, so he does these things to us. So it was a long Saturday. I didn't want to go out again when the real flying was boring as heck. And the heat wave hit us now. We get these this kind of week. Horrible. Horrible, like a Florida without humidity. I don't like it. I can't wait for the cold, which is coming back this weekend. I may go up to Tahoe. It's like 30 degrees up there already. I used to love autumn in Tahoe. I don't go anymore. I think I'm going to go this weekend. I'm just thinking out loud. I'm letting go of tension. It's after Hell Week. Forgive me for being, you know what I'm saying? I'm letting go. I'm going to get back to trickle-up poverty. I'll talk. But I'm letting go. I'm letting it out. I'm feeling relieved. All right, so it's a long, horrible day. It's worse than watching paint dry. It's like studying nuclear physics when you're a child and you don't really understand it. It's like memorizing a new language. The day went on from 6 in the morning. It was like forever. So to make a long story short, there's a guy that we know through family, younger guy, who has a large yacht, and he's a party animal, maybe a 70-foot boat. So he emails us, he likes me, you know, and then, why don't you come on the boat, we're going to have drinks after the end of the day, blah, blah, blah. All right, whatever, figure the end of the day is like an eternity away anyway. And he's got like beautiful, I mean, he said, well, we're dressing up in the Navy, and the girls are wearing Navy little sailorette outfits just for me. I needed to go see that. I needed more torture. You come aboard, the girls are wearing sailorette outfits, just what I wanted, more torment. So I wasn't sure I was going to go. All right, so the day is ending now. It's like long day's journey in tonight. I mean, where was Eugene O'Neill now that I needed him? It was like long day's journey in tonight. Finally, man. I said, how did you get through life without being a junkie? How did you avoid that pitfall with your nature? I'm like, you're made of iron, man. I had to congratulate myself. I didn't even have a drink. Nothing. If I was another person, it would have been like mainline city if I was a weak person. Those are the kind of days, I mean, you say, holy God, how many hours are there in a day? You know, thanks for blessing me with so much freedom and so much health. Now what? I don't know what to do with myself. So the night falls, and I start emailing and getting emails. Well, we're lost. We can't get back in the harbor because it's an unmarked channel. I live near an unmarked channel. And the guy had a new captain. So a guy on the boat I know says, well, can you signal us from land with your lantern? I'm not kidding you. I have a very powerful. So I'll tell you what, I'll go out on a certain area, and I'll start signaling you when you're near the entrance to the harbor. This is like a few hundred yards to the right of it. So he's, all right, signals me back by email. He says, see your signal, fine. About 20 minutes later, I get a thing. We've gone aground. The captain didn't see the entrance. We're trapped here for 6 hours. So I said, oh, God, I like this guy. So I said, look, I'll tell you what, give me a half an hour. I'll jump in my car. I'll go down to the dock. I'll get my little boat. I have three boats in my little Savage Navy. I have a little 22-foot Ranger tug, which I absolutely adore. A three-cylinder, 29-horsepower Yanmar diesel, great little engine. And I said, I'll tug over and I'll get you with the searchlight. Well, it was like Cape Fear, to be honest with you. I forgot to bring my night vision goggles, legal, of course. They're just previous generation night vision. If I had gotten my night vision goggles, it would have been a whole different story. I would have been able to see. And with a searchlight, it's still very difficult to see on a dark bay at night. I don't care where you are, storm or no storm, a searchlight only lights up a certain area. It's not diffuse enough to light up like in a wide arc unless you're like a Mexican patrol boat. You know what I mean? This is a merely standard searchlight. So my fear was I was going to run aground myself or I was going to smash into a piling. And my poor dog, I had to wake him up. Oh, now I understand. It was two nights later. He had a fear reaction. Poor Teddy. Okay, I'll be right back.
Savage.
So I'll finish the story about the dark moonlit night where the water looked like Cape Fear in a moment. I got to direct you to michaelsavage.com. They put it up finally. Savage's prophecy with a picture of Mao Tse-Tung. It's shocking. And it says, I had a dream that is so prophetic. I know why I was put on the air and why this book, Trickle-Up Poverty, is a raging bestseller. Please read the prophecy. I'm not looking to win a Nobel Prize for literature. I speak in simple terms. I speak directly to my audience. There's no finagling around. I had a dream that is very prophetic, and I told you about it. Let me take a quick call, and I'll tell you the rest of the Cape Fear story in a minute. Curtis on WOR New York, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Michael, I was at my local Barnes & Noble. Your book couldn't be found. I had to ask at the main desk, where I was then brought over to a table where your book had been walled in by a tower of other books. Now, the clerk rolled up his sleeve as if he were about to clear a clogged toilet, reached down, and procured your book for me.
You can just imagine where his hands were the night before if he thinks my book is polluted. Yeah. You can just imagine where his mind was at the night before.
Astonishing.
Now, look, I got to be fair here. Barnes & Noble's been so great to me, they've reordered because they've sold them out across the country. The only reason you were able to find him there is because the clerk hid them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. They always listen to the other side. And
Oh, yeah. They're very...
I get my fill of that, believe me.
So, Curtis, you couldn't get a book, or you did?
Well, you know, my mom raised me to say, you know, the way to hurt people back like this is not to buy from them. I know I'll find it somewhere else.
You know what? You got a free copy coming anyway. Stand in line. Trickle-Up Poverty goes to you. So, okay, I get the tug on that dark, moonless night. The water looks like Cape Fear. So they're aground now in a 70-foot yacht full of, like, younger, you know, good-looking people. They've been partying all afternoon watching the Blue Angels. And they're stuck now for 6 hours, and I'll come to the rescue. So I get my boat, my 22-foot tug, and all of a sudden I feel the boat dragging in the dark. I almost went aground because I turned too fast over to them into shallow water. I have 2-foot draft on my boat, but I was in less than that. I had less water than that. I said, oh, you idiot, you. Now you're going to go aground with the dog for 6 hours. Luckily, I was able to engineer my way out of it. I just did a few maneuvers, blah, blah, blah. I went further out. So I'm coming in around them now. I'm coming in from behind them in the channel that he was looking for. And I said, you'll be seeing some flashing the lights, blah, blah, blah. So I get next to them. And I throw him the lines, and the captain's, like, very, very humiliated. He was an older captain. He didn't know the waters. I right away thought of him because I didn't want him to feel bad. I said, oh, no, don't worry, captain. I said real loudly. I said, I've seen Navy captains go aground here during the day because this channel is so poorly marked by these SOBs who run this place. They do it out of spite. They're a bunch of old SOBs here who want you to run aground. Don't feel bad. I didn't want the young guy to get over it, blah, blah, blah. So I said, come on, grab the boat. Let's get aboard. I want to get out of here. So the guy I went to get, friend of the family, he's right there with his bag. And the others aren't there. Now, I'm here to rescue them. And they're like, they think I'm a water taxi. A couple of these people were so, like, whatever, into the mood of the day, they didn't even know that there was a boat waiting. They didn't even know they went aground, I don't think. And I'm saying, hey, Johnny, would you get them up here? I want to get out of here, man. I'm just, like, bouncing against your boat in the dark. I want to get you ashore and go home. It's like very late already with the dog. Dog's scared. So he's saying, hey, come on, man. Let's go. We're going, going, going. So, like, the girls are, like, with high heels now are coming on the boat and then taking the high heels off. It's like they thought I was like a water taxi that was hired. So now the guy who owns the boat, very nice guy, he comes out, like, last. They're screaming for, where are you? Comes out in patent leather shoes, dressed up like an admiral with a bottle of wine in his hand. He says, great. Where are we going? And he says, we're not going anywhere, the guy says. He's here to take you off. He says, take me where? He says, to the dock. He says, no, I thought we were going to go hang out from another party. You hear this? It was very comedic. I mean, in its own way, there was a lot of comedy in this story. So he didn't come. He stayed aboard his ship with the captain. He figured, well, what's the rush? So I took everyone to the dock, and I went back and got home late. The dog, he did a great thing in the middle of the night. And I think the fear must have hit the dog the next night. That's little story, not a big deal. This is not... Pirelling down out of a helicopter in the Bering Sea to rescue a fisherman who had an exploded hemorrhoid because he drank too much Diet Coke in a Mormon hospital.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. And I've told you some stories. We're talking about the book. We're talking about whether you're homophobic. And I said Paladino could win this election right now. The same one-liner that I try to get, the same type of one-liner that I try to give to McCain, trickle-up poverty, wouldn't use it. So I made a bestseller out of it. There's no book to get made out of this, but he could win the election by saying, I'm not homophobic, I'm homophobic. But I guarantee you his handlers are the very same people who have misled Republicans every step of the way for years now and telling them, oh, don't say that. You know, they don't know what they're talking about. A campaign manager is basically a shtunk, which is a lower German word for a combination of a moron and a grifter. A shtunk is a combination moron and grifter. Campaign manager. What does that mean? You think they know anything? Michigan, Barb, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes. Thank you, Dr. Savage. It's an honor to speak with you. I wanted to thank you for being a great leader and a voice of conservatism in our country. And
well, thank you. I try very hard to be a good Boy Scout.
Well, you are. And I just want you to know that we are big Tea Party supporters here. And
well, you need it in Michigan. Take a look at what happened to the estate under Carl Levin, the slumlord.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Do they know in Michigan that he's a slumlord? Do they know his holdings and his brother-in-law, his cousin's holdings, the kind of houses and apartments that the apartments that they control?
People that are in the know, I'm sure that they know that, but there's probably a
Carl
lot of
Levin is a slumlord. How does he get away with this?
I mean, we have a president.
The bigger the liberal, the bigger the criminal, I found. The more they are for the poor and for the downtrodden, usually they're hiding the biggest crimes.
Well,
Bob, stay in the line. I'm sending you a free copy of Trickle Up Poverty. You should get one for Carl Levin, too. Is anyone out there homophobic and why? New York City, WOR. Bernie, you say you are homophobic. Are you a homophobe, personally?
I would have to say now, admit on national radio, that I am a homophobe.
Why would you say you're homophobic?
Well, first of all, the fact that the three major dailies are against him, I like that. The New York Post, which is conservative, endorsed Rick Lazio, and when Lazio didn't win, they were very disappointed about that. I pick up the Post the next day. I thought it would be on the front page. Paladino wins. I'm looking through the paper. I thought maybe I got the early edition. On page 5 on the bottom, a little story. It says, Carl Paladino wins the nomination.
Well, the Post is owned by News Corp, as you well know, which is a great organization, but they've moved radically to the center. You know that.
I do. And then the Daily News comes out with a headline, Crazy Carl. Now, wait a minute. This is a headline? I mean...
Why is he Crazy Carl? Because he doesn't believe in homophobia?
Because he's rough around the edges. And, when I saw that Crazy Carl...
Well, you know what? I'd rather have Crazy Carl than an old-line left-wing hack who you know is going to run up taxes in New York State, increase the welfare rolls, guarantee you that the illegal aliens under him will do much better than under Paladino. So I'll take Crazy Carl. How's that?
Well, I agree, and I want to spread my homophobia throughout the city here.
Well, I'm going to help you with it by giving you a free copy of Trickle Up Poverty. Stay on the line. Let's go to Arizona. Todd, you're next up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, honored to speak with you. Actually, a long-time listener, 10 years.
Thank you.
The Trickle Up Poverty is, I mean, I've read all your books, and Trickle Up Poverty is by far your masterpiece. I mean, I can't
put this
thing down.
Isn't it? No, truthfully, it is my best book. It's the deepest, the most poignant, and the most important in terms of timing. And, of course, the revelations of what really is going on inside the Obama administration, the real inside story.
Well, the thing is, too, is I'm a younger guy. So when I start talking about politics, a lot of people have actually heard me say liberalism is a mental disorder. And people come up to you all the time, oh, that's Michael Savage. I said, yeah, and, you know, here's this new book, and I actually turn a couple people on to you. So it's actually...
Todd, aren't there more and more young people who are turning away from their parents' liberalism and they're more conservative?
Well, it's funny that you say that, Michael, because actually who turned me on to you was my mom. I was 18 years old, sitting in the car. She said, you've got to listen to this guy. As soon as I started listening, I was hooked. And I've been a listener for 10 years. And more and more now, you know, I'm able to influence more and more people because all people like nowadays is MTV, American Idol. They don't care what's going on. And people need to be re-educated like you're doing.
Well, it's very dangerous when you see an entire generation of children, and I include people of any age in that category, who are sitting, texting, iPhones, as though this is the Holy Grail. and they have no idea what's really going on in the world around them. It's a very dangerous, brave new world that we're in, Todd. They have no idea who the paper mache messiah is, nor who his minions are.
Yeah, and it's scary. You know, Michael, and it's sad to see because the older generation is dying off, and people like you, they don't exist anymore. You know, people don't want to say what they want to say.
Thank you for the compliment. I appreciate that. I don't have enough fears of mortality. I needed that one. I'm just joking.
I can't listen to anybody else.
No, I don't mean anything by it. The phone number, I'm sending you a free copy of Trickle Up Poverty. That's all. Kansas City, the heartland of America. Steve, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Thanks, Michael. I just wanted to let you know I waited during the week to go Friday to the Borders bookstore, expecting to walk in and find it hidden, and I walk in the door, and there it is right up front. But the bookshelf was empty. They were sold out. So I stand in the line. I'm going to put my name on a list, so when they come in, I'll be,
wow,
be called. And yeah. So then I tell the guy at the counter I want Trickle-Up Poverty, and the blue hair next to him looks at me kind of funny, which is okay. I've started writing my name down. And the guy's pointing to the name above my name, and I don't get anything. So I keep writing. I finish writing my name. I look up, and I see this name is on his name tag, and he holds his finger up to his lip and says, shush. He's about a 20-something kid.
You don't mean he was the clerk? He was just another customer?
No, he was the clerk. He was pointing his name out. So
he had put his own name down for a copy.
Yeah, but he didn't want me to say anything.
Isn't that amazing? No, that's an amazing story, Steve, that the clerk himself was afraid to admit that he wants to read another side.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and
Well, you stay in the line, Steve. That's a beautiful, incredible, insightful tale of a bookstore. I'm going to send you a free copy of Trickle Up. Everyone's a winner this week again. My publisher was very kind to me, and they gave me enough copies to give away all this week as well. So I'm going to do it. So whether you have one or not, if you tell a good horror story and you go past my Obama-phobic call screener, we will, and you get a... Remember I talked about Obama-phobia a few weeks ago? I thought that was very funny. This guy could make you into an Obama-phobic. I mean, every time he speaks, I lean back. Everything he says I know is a lie. Virtually everything the man does I know is fraudulent. There's nothing he can do now that gives me a sense of peace. Nothing. I've lived through Democrat administrations, Republican administrations. Some were good, some were bad. But I've never seen anything like the insularity and incompetence of this man. And every adult has left him. All the adults have left the theater. The only ones left are the college crowd is in there. You know what I'm saying? The beer blast crowd is in there still. They don't know what they're doing. They've never run a business, none of them. They never made a product. They never made anything anyone wanted. All they know how to do is print money and tell you that you're bad. They print money and tell you that everything you need, that you have from the air coming out of your mouth needs to be regulated by another college professor. Hey, look, let's have a breather and I'll take some calls. I want to have a little sound, Beowulf. Do you want music or a review? How about a little review thrown in and as you're getting me some good music? Which one is the best?
Not only explains the dirt that this filthy purchase president has in him and his Gestapo cronies, but also puts forth a wealth of honest, unabashed reading that, in plain language, again, you liberals will not have the capacity to understand, that truly reveals what is happening behind the socialist administration we have. And we'll thank God be losing in the election. Well done, well written.
Find a wee, and it goes round, round, round.
Is this Perry Como? He would be so proud of the young man running for office. Office in New York. They're not related because one was COMO. I always wondered about that. He had cardigans. He was such. I never knew about Perry, really. You know, he was a little too soft around the edges. Look, let it go. Okay, let it go. It's his business. May he rest in peace. The women loved him of my generation. He used to come out on Ed Sullivan in the cardigans, and the women, they loved him, the middle aged women. Okay, turn it. They would always say the same thing. You know, they would say he is so nice. He's a family man, meaning he wasn't running around. No kidding, he wasn't running around. Well, anyway, that's his business, whatever it was. But I don't think a guy like that would be homophobic because that was his name. I mean, his name was Como, so how could he be homophobic? But the women, they couldn't get enough of him. The cardigan, what an act that was. And all the women heard. I used to overhear everything. You know, I learned so much from my mother, God rest her soul, and the women in that house. They'd come and they talked in those days. I miss it. There was always somebody in the kitchen coming over for coffee. I grew up in a different world. The women would stop in. They'd have coffee and cake. They'd sit down. I was in another room always doing something, but I always heard, a kid hears. And the women would talk, and they'd move the crumbs around on the oilcloth table with a serrated knife, like I remember to this day. And they'd hash out all their problems. Nobody was on medication. Nobody went to a psychiatrist. They would talk quietly with each other about what was bothering them, and they would sift the crumbs. And by the end of the day, when the crumbs were all sifted, they all went home a little saner than when they arrived. That was America, when the chrome was thick and the women were straight. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Papa loves Mambo. Mama loves Mambo. Look at him sway with it. Getting so gay with it. Shout no lay with it.
No, you cannot accuse me of being homophobic. That's why I'm playing Perry Como right now.
Mama loves Mambo.
So I sit out here, I'm doing my radio show. I'm out on the West Coast, as you know, nationally syndicated for all these years. And I have on my desk a compass. It's a paperweight compass, a Weems and Plath paperweight compass that mariners love. I carry this with me wherever I go, you know, wherever studio I'm in, wherever I am on Earth. I need to know where North is. I need to get my bearings, Northeast. I have to know where I am. Inside a building, I don't like being disoriented, so I have a compass. Would you believe it? Isn't that strange? Am I the only guy who carries a compass around inside a building? There's something about me that's got such a nautical, you know. So when I say I'm Obamaphobic, I'm not kidding you. But he made me so. I didn't know who he was. The more I know about the man, the more I fear him. And it's truly a correct word. Obamaphobia means the fear of Obama. Now, I think that if this man should re-win the presidency in 2012, they could make Obamaphobia a hate crime. And Al Sharpton would be the judge, jury, and hangman for anyone accused of Obamaphobia. Can you imagine they have that clown on Fox News? And they say, well, Reverend, what do you think? Reverend? Can someone please answer me once and for all? And I have no way to know if this is true or false. Where did the Reverend earn his divinity degree? I'm still asking why they referred him with such reverential tones. He shakes people down, in my opinion, with that action group. That's why people give him money. And they have him on Fox News day in and day out. And they refer to him like some sage. Excuse me, Reverend Sharpton, what's going on in our country? Doesn't anyone see this? I don't know. The Purple Gang won't have me on. I don't need them. They need me. I am repeating this for a reason. Yes, there's a degree of competitiveness in me. I will admit it. But for me to have driven the book to the top of the charts without them indicates that talk radio is still dominant in terms of the world of political ideas in this country. I did it on this show. It was done nowhere else. We kept hearing talk radio is this, talk radio is that. It's only for old people. Talk radio is dead. Cable news is king. Internet is king. I don't say they don't have a powerful influence. You got to be a fool not to say so. At this stage, though, you'd have to admit, no matter how much of a doubting Thomas you are, that Michael Savage has rescued talk radio from the gallows. If anyone out there has been doubting whether talk radio still is powerful, let me tell you something. It is more powerful today than it ever has been in my 16-year career. Much more powerful today. More listeners than ever. More influence than ever. That's if you're in the inner ring. If you're in the inner ring, you have an audience that needs you and listens to you. And if you make sense, well, you're gonna make a lot of friends and a lot of unhappy people too. I wouldn't use the word enemies because we don't yet live in North Korea. WOR, New York, Linda, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, hi, Michael. I just want to tell you, there's an old-time saying, when you step in dog business, it means good luck.
Wait a minute. That's so good to hear. I'll tell you, the minute the show's over, I'm going to take my shoes and socks off and walk through the streets of San Francisco barefoot. I can't wait.
Great. And I just want to tell one thing. Also, when we bought your book on Amazon.com. We pre-ordered it because we wanted to obtain it right away. So I was so glad we did that. But also we wanted to buy the nutrition book that you had, but it was...
Book. You could buy the nutrition book on my website, but I don't want to get sidetracked. You're getting a free copy of Trickle Up Poverty right now. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Let's go to Sacramento, California. John, welcome to the show. John, what's on your mind?
Michael.
Yes.
Michael?
Yes, go.
How are you?
What's on your mind?
I like your style. I've been with you 15 years since
wow.
the Berkeley days, and I'll tell you what, I'm a professor in the junior college, and I went looking for your book.
Yeah,
up here, and it's hard. It's also
well. I don't know whether it's sold out. You know, there's a lot of people saying we can't find it. This has been a national phenomenon, John, and a lot of people think that the book is not being shown, but it's actually been sold out in Barnes and Noble and Borders. I hear it's everywhere. There's like been a rush, and the people cleaned the book off the shelves, John. And what's happened is people then are thinking there's a conspiracy that they're being hiding them, this and that. I don't think so. I think that they're just sold out right away.
How about
in some cases you're going to get the mean faced, clipped haired women hiding it for sure underneath Serbian cookbooks. I understand that. But by and large, it's just selling out. John, I'm sending you a free copy of Trickle Up Poverty for yourself and your children. 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to the middle of America, Chicago. Pat, welcome to the program. What's on your mind, Pat? Go ahead, please.
Hi, doctor. I'll tell you my experience yesterday trying to buy your book. I checked with four stores, and finally the last one, the Borders in Oak Brook, Illinois. Had them, drove over there, and I said the book was in the middle of the store. There was about 8 stacked on top of the customer service desk, and I said, how much is this? And she said, the price on the book. I said, well, it's supposed to be on the bestsellers list. And she said, no. So I walked up, talked to a manager, and she was a mean-faced woman, as you like to say.
Pat, you're breaking up, but I thank you for going into the store. I don't know if that was a good story or a bad story. So where are we on the show right now? My God, we have only 2 minutes left in this hour. Let me review. The dream you heard about, the dream and the message, where I screamed out, sit down, you bastard. He was a Chinese Hitler. He killed 60 million of his own fellow countrymen. And I tried to shout down a man who was glorifying Mao Zedong. And I made the comparison to Barack Obama, because I believe Obama is a disciple of Mao Zedong, in theory, if not in practice. I also came up with a new phrase today. Because of the Paladino Cuomo dust-up, I said that Mr. Paladino could end this by saying, I'm not homophobic, I'm Cuomophobic. And then I asked you if you are a Cuomophobe, and people were calling and telling us why they were Cuomophobic. And the answer is because Cuomo is notable, as was his dad Mario, for his liberal political views, particularly his opposition to the death penalty. And while Governor Mario vetoed several bills that would have reestablished capital punishment in New York State, Cuomo was a strong proponent of social welfare. He acted as a lawyer for liberal filmmaker Michael Moore. If you think that's a bona fide reason to elect him to the governorship, good luck to you. And Cuomo is pro-choice on abortion. He has been denied communion several times by the Catholic Church for his un-Catholic views. So you make up your own mind, as you probably will. But to write off Paladino simply because of a statement he made to Orthodox Jews, I think it's a mistake. I think it's a mistake in a time like this when the economy should be king, not these marginal issues, frankly. Yes, social issues are important, as I said to you. I cover them in my book. But remember what the title is, Trickle Up Poverty. It's about the economy, stupid, but not solely about the economy, stupid. It's also about the impoverishment of the military, the impoverishment of NASA, the impoverishment of virtually every avenue of our life by this administration. That's what it's all about. And that's where Trickle Up Poverty has hit the raw nerve. Well, every once in a while, a book comes along that catches a wave and catches the public tide. And I almost feel as though this is an Emil Zola-like moment in American history, where a populist book comes along and people grab it, they read it and tell their friends about it, and it changes the course of human events. There have been such books, and I think I will tell you about them in a moment on The Savage Nation. Which books change the course of history?
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Welcome big debate going on in New York right now in the gubernatorial race between Andrew Cuomo and Mr. Carl Paladino. Carl Paladino is the conservative Republican, and he went before certain Orthodox Jewish people. And he had certain things to say about being about homosexuality that would be considered to be politically very dangerous. Right away, Cuomo attacked him. Now, I don't want to get pulled into the remarks made by Carl Paladino, except to say that I'm not homophobic at all. I'm Cuomophobic. And I would suggest that Mr. Paladino take this and run with it and just say, I'm not homophobic. I'm Cuomophobic. Take it and run, Mr. Paladino. I try to save John McCain with trickle-up poverty, and he was too doltish to understand it, and he lost. And now I'm trying to save you with this phrase. Just say I'm Cuomophobic and see where it gets you. That's one thing. But if you look into Andrew Cuomo's father, I'm sorry, Mario, yeah, Andrew's father, Mario Cuomo, not Perry. When Mario Cuomo was a governor, he was a clear, radical, left-wing Democrat. Strong believer in welfare, acted as a lawyer for liberal filmmaker Michael Moore, pro-choice on abortion, denied communion several times by the Catholic Church for his so-called un-Catholic views. He is known for his very liberal views, his steadfast opposition to the death penalty. While governor, he vetoed several bills that would have reestablished capital punishment in New York State. So all I can say is the mortadella doesn't fall far from the deli, and I think Mr. Paladino, who is of the same ethnicity, has the right to say he's Cuomophobic. Now, I had a dream over the weekend that is quite prophetic. Take it for what it is. I'm going to tell you what the dream is. It's quite brief. I know why I was put on the air. I know why this book, Trickle Up Poverty, has become a raging bestseller. It went to number one last week for 3 days in all categories, fiction, nonfiction, you name it. I climbed to the top of the anthill. I dreamed I was in some sort of an adult classroom, and a woman was teaching, a very chatty woman, middle-aged, and she was glowing about how great Mao Zedong had been, how Mao had built steps in the mountains, and how he dug tunnels through mountains, and how he marched across China with an army, and what a great achievement it was, and what a great man he was, and what great vision he had. And one man stood up, a middle-aged, bespectacled man, and he started to clap in the classroom and say, great, Mao was great, he was a great, wonderful man. And in this dream, I screamed out, sit down, you bastard. He was a Chinese Hitler. Mao killed 60 million of his own fellow Chinese countrymen. But the man kept clapping, and the teacher tried to admonish me, not him. Then the teacher said to me, no, you can't yell out in the class. That's not right. That's not what happened. And I yelled at her, if you don't know what Mao Zedong actually did, you're not qualified to be a teacher. You're not qualified to be a teacher, I said to her, and that was the end of the dream. Now, what does this have to do with Barack Obama? I believe Barack Obama is a disciple of Mao Zedong. I don't mean in the mass murder, parenthesis, necessarily, close parenthesis. Now, why do I say that? I say it because he hired one Maoist after another, including a woman by the name of Anita Dunn, who he had to fire when she glorified Mao Zedong in a speech. There are many other Marxists and Maoists around him, appointed by him alone with no congressional oversight. Now, whether he is dangerous or not is almost irrelevant. It's always the disciples or the men around the man. And you have no idea how dangerous the disciples are because they were not run through the Senate, were they? In this land of checks and balances, we have no checks and no balances. So we have no idea what lurks beneath the shadows of this man and his Marxist minions. And I'm going to tell you something. After this dream, I realized I was put here to alert America and the world to the dangers of this false messiah. Michael Savage was put here to write his manifesto, Trickle Up Poverty, and tell you about it on the Savage Nation. Oh, what a day it's been. Nothing extreme. A story came out that really shocked me, a news story. One of the leaders that we have he's not a Defense Department, intelligence agency, whatever. Where's that story, Beowulf? We said we got to be ready to... They can't have 100% batting average. We're probably going to get hit. And we'll bounce back. Where's that story? Whoever he is, some Schmendrick that Obama picked to be head of national, internal, reverse, double intelligence, counter, productive intelligence. a guy whose last known job was probably working at Brown University in the admissions department, is now the head of counterintelligence for the Obama administration. He said, America can take another 9/11 and survive it. Now, I was furious when I read that, because he shouldn't be telling me that. He should be telling the enemy that if you so much as set off a firecracker, we'll immolate your nation, you bastard. Don't even dare tread on me. You set off a firecracker in America, we'll burn your house down. I never saw anything like this. Am I alone in this? What is going on in my country that the head of national counterintelligence, whatever, who has no experience in intelligence nor in counters, maybe he has experience in counters working at Macy's, says, oh, yeah, we can take another 9/11 and we can come back for it. We're strong. That's the latest watchword. They reinvented themselves, and now it's, oh, we're a strong country. We can come back from an attack. They're all saying the same thing now. Is that the right thing for a defense agency to be saying at a time like this? I don't believe so. I think that they should go after the terrorist in his homeland. I think we should attack them first. I think we should immolate the entire tribal region of Pakistan. I think we should unleash a neutron bomb on the tribal region of Pakistan after giving them 24 hours notice that we're going to immolate the entire tribal area. We want the women and children out. And let all the brave terrorists stay there behind and then just drop one. I'm sick of this. And you know what else is going on? What's more, we didn't hear a peep out of Gates and Mullen when Obama surrendered our anti-missile defense shield in Poland and the Czech Republic. You remember that? Or when Congress cut back on funding for future combat systems, which is an essential program. We didn't hear a word from Gates and Mullen over the recently announced, quote, almost 20% cut in the dedicated forces they could allocate to respond to a weapon of mass destruction attack on U.S. soil. This is in my book on page 263. And the reason I'm reading it to you is because I remember every speech. I remember every policy debate. I have them all in here, and you mustn't forget them. I do this for a living. Remember, I do this for a living, and I have a memory like an elephant. I caught everything that the Obamas have done and everything the Obamas want to do, and they're destroying our ability to survive as a nation. And I ask, why won't these men stand up to this radical president who continues to impoverish the military and compromise the ability for America to defend herself against those who would want to wipe us off the face of the earth? Make no mistake about it. The trickle-up poverty here is the weakening of America's capacity to defend ourselves, and the impoverishment of the fighting spirit, once the centerpiece of the U.S. military. Now listen to this. All because of the mental disorder of liberalism exhibited by far left's influence on the top brass and Barack Hussein Obama's radical policies of appeasement. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I spoke to a young man who served two tours in Iraq as a machine gunner on a Humvee. He wasn't serving hot meals. And I asked him, he's a young guy, I said, do you happen to know what your mission was? He said, no, nobody knew what the mission was. He said, our mission was to go out and get shot at and shoot back. He said, that was our mission. And he said, many of my friends never came back. He said, that was our mission. I said, when I said today that we should get out of Afghanistan, did you find it offensive as a former member of the military, a combat veteran? He said, no. He said, most members of the military want out of Afghanistan. He said, the wives want them out. The families want them out because they're rotating them over and over again. Some people have served six tours in Iraq and Afghanistan, six tours in hell. And that's because we no longer have a draft. We have an all-volunteer army. And all-volunteer military, as a matter of fact. And that's why they're being abused. They're being abused by old men who could care less about them, is what many of the people are saying to me. And so I think when they introduced me as Michael Savage, you know, conservative, with a huge radio audience, where do you stand on the war? And when I said I think we should pull out of Afghanistan because I have no idea why we're there, they were shocked. They were surprised to hear it because they typecast me. And they assume that they could figure out what I'm going to say in advance. But they can't figure out what I'm going to say. They have to understand I'm a thoughtful person. I'm also a man who knows history. I've seen nations ruined by wars without end. If you study World War I, and I don't want to get sidetracked right now, it's a war that never should have happened. It started by accident, the assassination of Archduke of Austro-Hungary. Then one country after another ganged up on the next country. First it was Austria-Hungary against Serbia. Then it was Germany joining this one. Then it was Russia saying we can't let them win. Then it was France saying we can't let them win. Then it was England saying we can't let them win. But mainly it was about the munitions manufacturers. Most of the big militaries at that time had weapons that had not been used. New monster ships called dreadnoughts that were less than 10 years old. Weapons that were phenomenally powerful and destructive called machine guns that had never been used. And believe me, the generals were anxious to try them out on the other person's son. And millions of boys lost their lives. People came back without faces and they were burned to death. Their lungs were shot. For what? Can anyone listening to this show tell me one benefit from World War One? I'll tell you one negative from World War One. That was the development of Adolf Hitler, the advent of Adolf Hitler. That was because Germany lost World War One and was forced to pay reparations by the God darn League of Nations. And as a result of those reparations, the German economy was destroyed. And as a result of that destruction, a right-wing maniac, a racist maniac named Adolf Hitler was able to rise up. And as a result of that, millions of people lost their lives, all going back again to World War One. So as I say to you, war is hell, and war has consequences. And we were in Iraq long enough to recognize that the Arabs are never going to say thank you. We liberated 24 million Shia, and what did we get for it? Did you get so much as a barrel of oil? They gave their first oil contracts to China. Did we see any oil, as George Bush said, we'd get oil as reparations? Where'd that ever go, Mr. Bush? How come the Republicans don't talk about that? Oil as reparations? Whoever paid us back for the Iraq war? Forget the guys who lost their lives or lost their bodies or lost their hearts or lost their minds. What about plain dollars? $1 trillion? $2 trillion? Iraq is oil rich. Why don't we have their oil bounty? You tell me the answer to that. Well, there's many answers to these questions, and I think that you can find them pretty much either on this show or in Trickle Up Poverty. But the point is that I am very thoughtful and I'm not predictable. Look, I know you worry about what's going on in Afghanistan from what's going on in the White House, but with all of that, you shouldn't have to worry about your computer on top of everything else. So go visit my advertisers at carbonite.com. They'll back up all your important files so they're safe no matter what happens. Use my offer code SAVAGE, and you're going to get 2 months free with your subscription. That's carbonite.com, offer code SAVAGE. Well, here's Obama on jobs.
The private sector created jobs 9 months
well,
in a row
great.
Now.
But what about the unemployment rate, which is about 10% at
there
least?
There are 3 million Americans who would not be working today if not for the economic plan that Joe and I put into place.
Uh-uh.
That's the truth.
And now more Republican bashing from him?
The hole we're climbing out is so deep.
Wait a minute. Talk about holes.
The Republicans messed up so bad.
What about how deep you made the deficit hole we're now in?
Left such a big mess that there are still millions of Americans without work.
The unstable Afghan puppet president, Hamid Karzai, is talking with the enemy, the Taliban, who have killed our own troops. Listen to this.
We have been talking to the Taliban as countryman to countryman. Talk in that manner. As a regular official contact with the Taliban with a fixed address, but rather unofficial personal contacts have been going on for quite some time. Now that the Peace Council has come into existence, these talks will go on and will go on officially and more rigorously, I hope.
How many millions more will this cost us to deliver peace?
What do you make of the stories then about your being a manic depressive, which is, by the way, a common disease. Millions of people around the world have it. And of being delusional. And where does that come from?
Well, spit it out, Mr. Karzai.
Like all other stories.
Well, let's play it again. I think Karzai is clearly playing us, or he's clearly delusional.
Not true.
Oh, definitely not. Rather funny.
Wait a minute, this isn't funny. I'll ask again, as I ask in my book, Trickle Up Poverty, why are we in Afghanistan? But here's mainstream media's idea of what's important.
When John Boehner, the Republican leader of the House, was here, I asked him, I said, talking about things where the two sides could work together, I said, why don't you and the president announce jointly that the two of you will pledge to try to stop smoking?
Wait, stop. Stop smoking? Well, who cares? Listen to Axelrod's response.
Like well, that. You know, we sort of started that campaign, Bob, because we waged a big battle in the Congress to get the FDA to regulate tobacco so that we could stop the marketing of these products to
but
children.
But he still smokes.
The president is doing a pretty good job on that, by the way.
And he says, of course, Obama's been doing a pretty good job on stopping smoking. Just what we needed to hear right now. Have you noticed my show has gotten better over the last few months? Do you know why? Because I'm flapping less and I'm coasting more. I've watched old guys sometimes, how efficiently they move or how efficiently they... Well, you know, it's very hard to describe. You ever watch an old boxer? I don't mean old boxer. There are no old boxers. In sports, I don't know if that analogy holds up because the guys break down very young. But there are professions where an individual will do things more with less energy, let's put it to you that way, and do it perfectly. Flap less, coast more. A painter, for example. I've told the story before. I don't want to beat this up.
Savage.
The Obama agenda keeps rolling along. Recently, a federal judge rejected an injunction to prevent Obamacare to be mandated. Joining us now, the reporter, this is Robert Scott Bell.
Thanks again, Michael. Always a great honor to be with you on the Savage Nation. And this week, nullification, it's not just for Thomas Jefferson anymore. But before we get to that, I think I have to comment on the 72,000 stimulus payments that evidently went to dead people. And I just have this sneaking suspicion that if at least a portion of those people had read your nutrition books, they would not be dead people. But that's another story. But actually, it does relate to nutrition because the dollar is sliding and health care is being upheld by federal judges everywhere. Well, it's not health care. You know, disease management, Obamacare. The federal judge, this is an interesting story, upholds constitutionality of health care law. Now, this is something that really Tom Woods talked about in his book, Nullification. He says, why would you go to the federal courts to seek that they reduce their power? Reduce their control over the people. How likely is it that they're going to rule in the favor of, let's get smaller? Yeah, we've been just far too big. We'll just rule against ourselves. And so we go back to history and realize that at the founding of the country, that certain states would not even sign on to the ratification of the Constitution unless they understood that they had the final say, that they were superior to the federal government.
Well, but the federal government has been fighting and ignoring states' rights for years.
Yeah, states' rights have been diminished over time, and I think that's a function of the indoctrination education system of recognizing that at the origins of this country, the states were superior along with the people to the federal government. The federal government was given just a very strict set of guidelines that they could not go beyond. And, of course, over time, certainly the last 100 years, as the education system from the federal on down has bestowed the glories of government on all the children that would go there, they begin to look at the federal government as superior, and then you see the people that are claiming, well, nullification, that's racist. Never mind that in history, nullification was used against certain things happening, like slavery, states that didn't want to participate in the Fugitive Slave Acts and things like this. So there's a lot of misinformation, obviously, coming out about nullification because they're scared, they're frightened that we're on to them. The people are waking up, the Tea Parties are learning about these things and recognizing that we cannot rely upon their own courts to, let's say, back down on the power grabs and the overreach that they have achieved for a long time now.
Exactly.
So in the federal case out of Detroit last Thursday, where they were rejecting a request for preliminary injunction to halt the health care overhaul signed into law by Obama way back in March, Judge George Karam Stee upheld the constitutionality of the law, finding that Congress does possess the authority under the Constitution's Commerce Clause, which means they can do anything, of course, to basically require that Americans purchase health insurance. And we've talked so much about this, there's nothing healthy about it. It's going to drive an underground black market of other therapies, you know, into the realm of reality, which, you know, by and large has been happening for so long. We've talked about this over time. In fact, claims made by dietary supplement manufacturers or even farmers, for instance, the cherries, we bring them up again, the fact that they can reverse gout. Now, you know, as the Senate had debated a story, we mentioned last week that, you know, they might 10 years in prison, you know, jail time for a company that would link to peer-reviewed published science.
Crazy.
And so it isn't the far-out natural medicine proponents that are actually lacking science. It's that when they adopt the science, acknowledge it, and try to voice it at the front of what they're doing, that they are thrown a real wrench that, you know, could result in a loss of their freedom. And there's another thing that the federal courts are probably not going to rule on or rule correctly on is McDonald's and 29 other firms get health care coverage waivers.
What?
If it's so great, why do these large multinational firms need to have an ability to opt out of certain aspects of Obamacare? And yet they won't, you know, they won't let the individual opt out on it, you know, like they have made the special provisions for the Amish for certain sects and otherwise. And as I've said, if there's equal protection under the law, that means everybody has the religious freedom to opt out, which is what they don't want to have acknowledged. And that kind of resurgence leads us back to the concept of state nullification, or perhaps even individuals, like individuals with religious beliefs, that say, you know, I don't want to deal with the sorcery of government-sanctioned, FDA-approved, modern synthetic drug medicine.
It's obvious that to the Obama administration, some religions are far more equal than others.
Well, I don't know. I think at the founding of this country, it was about spiritual freedom. And there was not a designation between what one person believed or another, as long as they harmed nobody else in the process. We're not talking about religious sects that want to blow up buildings. We're talking about those that simply do not want to participate in the mandate, the federal mandate, that they should accept synthetic toxic poisons as a way of life or as a way of recovering from disease that may have been caused by exposure to those same synthetic toxic poisons.
Hmm.
Of course, those that still eat at fast food restaurants may be more likely to need whatever drugs they're throwing at you through Obamacare. But I think it's obviously a really wrong-headed approach to address the issues, as you've talked about in your books over the years, that we're dealing again with nutritional deficiencies, just like with the crisis of currency that is occurring. The fact that we cannot subsist on Twinkies for food morning, noon, and night and expect to be healthy, and now we're finding out clear as day, I believe, as the world is looking at the Federal Reserve printing up more and more paper dollars out of thin air, that we can't subsist on Twinkies for money. They disavow any kind of history or historical basis for any of the laws that were written into the Constitution to limit the federal government. Whether it be the Coinage Act of 1792 that said only gold and silver was money, or whether it be issues such as religious freedom, that we could not be forced to participate in certain medicines that some people would claim to be sorcery, which is the origin. We go into word origin and pharmacia, pharmaco, pharmakia. It's sorcery.
Right, right, right.
Some people simply wish not to participate. They don't want to force anybody not to. They just don't want to do it for themselves or their families.
The majority of Americans reject this Obamacare.
Maybe this is an explanation as to why 63% of Americans are angry at policies of the federal government and 43% are very angry. You know, if your neighbor did this to you, if your neighbor forced you to accept medicines that you didn't want to use, you'd be ticked off. And I think that's where this concept of nullification comes back around now, coming back into vogue, so to speak. People are going, hey, how do we take this federal behemoth and chop it down to size? And it simply is the states recognizing, as they did with Real ID. I mean, you don't see Napolitano, authorizing the tanks to roll into the states that are not participating in Real ID. And whatever you believe about medical marijuana, medicinal marijuana laws, the fact is they haven't rolled into California and other states that have said, okay, no more of this federal stuff. It's not the constitutional role of the federal government to legislate that issue. It's a state issue.
Well, because it fits into their agenda.
So I think that awareness is now coming to pass on many levels, why the 10th Amendment Center, for instance, is promoting this concept through the nullification tour that they have that I just attended in Orlando. And it's really an exciting thing. These are the Tea Party people. These are the people that are really wanting to find solutions, not just wanting to scream angrily. You know, like the left would claim, oh, they're just angry about nothing or everything. It doesn't matter. No, they're looking for ways out of this mess. And they're recognizing that it may be more efficient to pull the plug on federal power than to attack it. Simply like we talk about from a health and nutritional standpoint, you want to feed a candida? Hey, load up on sugar. You're going to see candida albicans overgrowth yeast infections worldwide. Of course, if you want to reduce a yeast infection, one of the most powerful ways to do it is not necessarily a drug. It's to stop feeding the yeast infection, much like we should stop feeding the cancer that is the federal government at this point, going well beyond its constitutional limitations.
Are there any signs that things are going to get better?
I mean, we can hope that the federal courts would rule in the favor, and I have, you know, good hope that maybe they will, because Jonathan Ebord, who I mentioned here, beat the FDA 7 times. He's party to the United States Citizens Association suit against Obamacare, and he's brought up constitutional issues that the states haven't even considered. So it may very well be that the courts do the right thing. But in reality, we can't expect that, and we need to look at other channels that have been used historically since the dawning of this country that do so in a peaceful way, that simply bring government back to the place where we have a strong national defense, we have an economy where everybody is able to participate based on freedom, not by force or coercion, and certainly not by force of a gun to participate in what we know as perhaps the third leading cause of death, depending on the stats you use and which medical journal you look into. Modern medicine, of which Obamacare is enforcing or encroaching even further by strengthening that monopoly, which has descended upon us over the last 100 years, like we mentioned here, since the Flexner Report of 1910 and Obamacare of 2010.
Also the dropping value of our dollar and the shambles of our economy.
And even if nullification is not used, and even if the federal courts rule that it's constitutional, if you tie it into the economy, and it's always the economy, there is no money to pay for this, despite Bernanke's continual insistence that we can print like there's no tomorrow. And, of course, there will be no tomorrow for the Federal Reserve note dollar. And do we then acquiesce to the world governmenters, the one world odor eaters out there that want to have one currency that is based on the same phony, funny money fiat standard based on nothing? Or do we want to return to the basis that maybe freedom works, and that maybe the American people on the free market could actually decide what they want to use as money? And maybe gold and silver will be that which we choose, even though it's still the only constitutionally authorized form of money that is technically allowed, except for the legal tender laws that were passed in concert with the Federal Reserve Act of 1913.
Mm-hmm.
So which way do we go? Freedom? Tyranny? Health? Disease? I think nullification is a great thing to look into, Michael, and I appreciate the opportunity to, get the word out on this.
Thanks for the report, Robert. Where can we read more?
Thanks again, Michael, and for your listeners that want to learn more about this and other topics we cover here on the Savage Nation, just send them on over to robertscottbell.com. Thanks again.
Look, it's no surprise as to the direction Obama is taking us. I have chapters about this, Clear as Day and Trickle Up Poverty, the best-selling book. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Here are some news stories. Just came out that George Soros, the money trader in the Temple of America, has just came out and said, I cannot stop a Republican avalanche. You hear this? George Soros, the money trader, who tried to throw the Republicans out, says he's not optimistic about Democratic prospects. He said, I made an exception getting involved in 04 in a brief interview. And since I didn't succeed in 04, I remained engaged in 06 and 08. But I'm basically not a party man. I've just been forced into that situation by what I consider the excesses of the Bush administration. Mr. Soros, a radical Marxist, who they call a liberal, has been directing his money to groups that work on health care and the environment rather than electoral politics. And asked if the prospect of Republican control of one or both houses of Congress concerned him, he said, it does, because I think they're pushing the wrong policies, but I'm not in a position to stop it. I don't believe it's standing in the way of an avalanche. In other words, he's about to get buried because of what he's done. It's interesting to me that Soros, the richest financial speculator in history, is a Democrat. Yet, the Democrats continually deride speculators. And why doesn't the New York Times call Soros a hedge fund mogul? That's how he made his billions and in money trading, right? I guess it would mess up this ongoing myth that Republicans are the only lapdogs of Wall Street, huh? Well,
huh? Sounds like the puppet master may have to find a new puppet pretty soon.
Look, people like Soros are throwing in the towel and giving up. That's what's going on. And the super rich like Soros will simply stay in cash and invest in very little as the deflationary spiral gains momentum. God only knows what he's going to do now. The fact of the matter is, he simply is sitting it out because he knows the Republicans are going to win. He doesn't want to make any more enemies because he knows they will and should come after him. Many people believe he committed crimes and he should be tried. He says, I'm not a party man? Well, that's not true. He's been after the liberal left for forever. This man smells which way the wind is blowing. He just bought some congressional testimony insurance for when the Republicans take over. He created groups like Center for American Progress. He created groups like that, along with Herb and Marion Sandler, the bankers, okay? And the Bloomberg News Organization calls them the Soros-funded Democratic Idea Factory. But never forget who these people are. They're the ones who created the myth about me and caused me to be banned in England. This group also provided the administration with many of its officials, including Green Job Czar Van Jones. He returned to this group when he was fired or resigned. And the head of CAP, John Podesta, managed the transition from Senator Obama to President Obama. This is the Center for American Progress. He also created this virus called MoveOn.org, which is the jewel in the crown of the Soros-funded 527 groups. Soros is the single largest founder of such groups. The fact that Soros runs an offshore hedge fund that keeps his investors hidden and most probably includes a slew of foreigners is rarely mentioned. The riches of Soros include hefty management fees extracted from foreign investors. So Soros is not who you may think he is, my friends. We'll keep talking about this and other topics on the show today, but let's stop for a minute. I know you listen because this is one of the last places you can get real, honest, independent, conservative opinions and unfiltered news. And I want you to get the full impact of the Savage Nation. Go to TRN1.com, become a premium member, and get Savage Live, Savage Archives, and the Savage Podcast at TRN1.com. Click on my picture at TRN1.com today. Now, I'm going to take a hiatus. Now, I'm going to jump to something. The left is like you to believe that we on the right are the mean ones, the evil ones, the angry ones, and they're the good ones, the nice ones, the kind ones, who love animals and love nature and love children. Well, something happened on the BBC recently that's going to shock you to your core. A member of the who is this woman Ironside, by the way? I'd like to know exactly what she does. Beowulf, do you know who she is? Well, we'll find out in a minute. She's a columnist, a left-wing columnist, a middle-aged woman. I want you to listen to her talk about killing the handicapped. She shocked even the BBC reader. Listen to clip six.
I think that if I were a mother of a suffering child, I would be the first to want, I mean, a deeply suffering child, I would be the first to want to put a pillow over its face. And I think the difference is that my feeling of horror, suffering, is much greater than my feeling of getting rid of a couple of cells, because suffering can go on for years.
I don't know if you took that in. Now, here's a woman who considers herself a member of the liberal elite in England. She said if she had a child who was handicapped, she would gladly put a pillow over its face because she has such feelings about suffering, which is much greater than her feeling about getting rid of a couple of cells. She refers to a handicapped child as a couple of cells. This woman is Hitler's mistress. This woman is the inheritor of Hitler's eugenics program. And I've told you, I was the first to tell you, but I hope I'm not the last. I've warned you for years that it's the liberals who are dragging us not so much into socialism, but into outright fascism. They hate free speech. Now you're learning they actually hate the handicapped. Now, she's so shocked, a young lady who can be seen, that even the mild BBC interviewer was nonplussed. Listen to clip 7.
That's a pretty horrifying thing.
What?
To say that you would put a pillow over the...
Of course I would, if it was a child I really loved who was in agony. I think any good mother would. I don't know any mother who wouldn't say that if this was, there was nothing else that could be done.
Do you think that mothers would agree with you?
I think a lot would.
She thinks a lot would. Now, I don't know if she's married. She does have a very peculiar hairdo, this middle-aged hag, this member of the illiberal ruling elite in Britain, with that pompous, fraudulent British accent. She has a very odd little dye job in her head, which leads me to believe she doesn't have any children. It leads me to believe that she is one of these cold-hearted, humanless forms that refers to other human beings as a group of cells. You know, something about Michael Savage brightens the spirit. I am a treasure for hard times. Who said that? Who said, oh, I don't know, I listened to him because something about him brightens the spirit. Michael Savage is a treasure for hard times. Who said that? I said that.
Savage.